Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday, December 6th, 2018, 18 minutes past the hour, and we're having a good time here today. Trivia question still on the table. Now, let's see if we can get any answers here. What did the Pepsi Cola Company used to do special every Halloween season? Does anybody know that yet? That's our longest-serving question. What did the Pepsi Cola Company used to do special every Halloween season? 740-383-9944. What percentage of people think that Christmas is a cultural holiday? Now that's trees, Santa Claus, Rudolph, Frosty. What percentage of people think that Christmas is a cultural holiday? What percentage of people still go out and Christmas carol? You know, go out in the cold and sing? Do any of our listeners still do that? If so, where do you go out in Christmas carol? Does anybody still do it? 740-383-9944. What percentage of people still go out in Christmas carol? What is an old-time term for a joke? It's one word, and it means a joke. Now, in Central Ohio, we used to hear this quite a bit. But it's just a one-word term. It's an old-fashioned term for a joke. Does anybody know that answer? What feud did Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen used to have each year on The Tonight Show? When Johnny Carson was on the air, every holiday season, he and his band leader, Doc Severinsen, used to do this little gag where they would be angry with each other over something. They had an argument. What did Doc Severinsen and Johnny Carson used to argue about? Go ahead, caller.
Yes, hello. I'm going to say with the culture, I'm going to say around 75-80%.
You know, that's not, it's actually not that high.
Is that right?
Yeah, more people, I think, consider it a religious holiday.
Christmas?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I thought it might have been the other way, too, because we see so much Santa and...
Well, yeah, and when I read stories in the countries that, you know, that celebrate, and, well, that is really news to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm interested to see when somebody gets the answer, because I think it's fascinating what the percentage actually is.
Yes, well, maybe 20% then.
Not 20, but that's a good guess.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my golly. Okay, another one is, what was your other question? Oh, caroling.
Yes.
I think quite a few churches here are marrying caroling. I know our church do. And I don't know about standing outside singing, but they always come in the houses with the church members, and especially the shut-ins.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And they still do that.
That's very nice. Well, I remember when people used to go, to a housing complex, and they would just go through the complex.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always something very neat, and a lot of people did it on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
And
yes.
I have not seen any of that in recent times.
Well, I don't know if our church does, because we do have some members in nursing homes. I don't know whether they do or not. But anyway, our church does. And I know one time you wondering about churches ringing their bells. Well, there's still a lot of churches that rings their bells.
Oh, good.
Especially on Prospect Street. I think each one of those churches rings a bell.
I think that's right, but you know, a lot of the new ones, like Day Spring.
Yeah, I bet they don't.
Yeah, I
bet they don't even have a bell.
Yeah, I don't even think they have a bell.
Right.
Well, hey, thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Well, I'll be anxious to hear what that number is, because I just figure a lot of older, because I know my sister-in-law lives in France now, and she always sends me a Christmas card in French. So I'm pretty sure they probably still do.
Now, how do you say Merry Christmas in French?
I do not speak French. friend, so I don't know.
I understand. Well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the phone lines are open. The number's kind of interesting. Does anybody else want to take a stab at it? What percentage of people think that Christmas is a cultural holiday? Now, that's the percentage of people who think it's about Santa Claus and presents and trees and things of that nature. Any guesses there?
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, Scott, this joke thing's really got me.
Okay.
Are you talking about a shenanigan?
Not a shenanigan, but that's close to it.
Okay.
That's really close.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, this term, it's a funny term. Shenanigans, close. The question is, what is an old-time term for a joke? And it's one word, shenanigans, kind of close to it, but it was used by a very famous person here in, well-known, let's say well-known. It was used by a very well-known person in Central Ohio for a long time. And I used to think that they made that term up, that was a term that they made up for the word joke, instead of just saying joke. But then I heard people on national television say it, so I decided it was an old-fashioned term, probably used in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, but it did continue on into the 80s. I heard people in the 80s still using the term, but it's a one-word term for a joke, and it's an old-fashioned term. And shenanigan is kind of close. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know? Did anybody used to watch the old Johnny Carson Tonight Show? What did band leader Doc Severinsen and Johnny Carson used to disagree about every holiday season? I don't think we've had any guesses on that one. Does anybody remember? It happened every year. Now, they would only argue about it at holiday time, and the producers would get involved, and people would write in, and Ed McMahon would get involved. But Johnny believed one way, and Doc Severinsen believed another, and it was a disagreement they had about something to do with Christmas. Does anybody remember what it was? 740-383-9944. What percentage of people still go out in Christmas Carol in 2018? We've had some guesses, but we don't have the right one yet. What percentage of people still go out in Christmas Carol? What percentage of people think that Christmas is a cultural holiday? Santa Claus, Christmas trees, Rudolph, Frosty the Snowman. What percentage of people think that Christmas is a cultural holiday as opposed to a religious holiday? Does anybody know the number, the percentage? What did the Pepsi Cola Company used to do every Halloween with their soda pops, which included Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper? What did they used to do every Halloween?
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, is that joke thing buffoonery?
Not buffoonery.
Okay.
No, thank you.
No, it's not buffoonery. The question is, what is an old-fashioned term for a joke? It's a one-word term, but it means joke. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944, 27 minutes past the hour. I'll tell you what's the joke. Is this morning, if you weren't listening, somebody called into the Charlie Evers Show, and we have our big Christmas Olympics coming up on December the 13th. Now, we have three events. We have the Christmas cookie baking contest. We have the fruitcake toss, where we toss a fruitcake to see who can throw it the furthest. And we have the eggnog pong, which is eggnog ping pong. Now, it costs $5 to enter any of those events, and you can nominate somebody else to be in those events. Now, so far, we've got Jack Johnson of Al's Country Market, entered by Judy Summers in the fruitcake toss. Melinda Johnson from Affinity Insurance, entered by Judy Summers in the fruitcake toss. And I am in the fruitcake toss, entered by Ralph Thacker. Now, this morning, we had a caller, Jerry Harris, who said if I can eat a fruitcake in 5 minutes, he'll donate $20. So we'll see if that happens. But if anybody else would like to nominate somebody else for one of these events, it's only $5. The person who raises the most money will be the Christmas Olympic champion and will get a medallion and will be known as the first ever Christmas Olympic champion. Now, so far, Jerry Harris is going to be the first one because he's got $20 involved here. But it's only a minimum donation of $5 per event. 740-383-9944 if you want to enter somebody. Or you can stop by the studio here Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and enter somebody. Or if you leave it on the answering machine, just tell us who you want to enter, what event you want to enter them in, and your name. As long as you have the $5 paid by December the 12th, the day before the event, everything will be fine. And you can enter anybody. Charlie, Satch, the mayor, county commissioners, whoever. It's all up to you.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Did he specify what size that cake would be?
You know, he didn't. I heard the call, and it was, can I eat a fruitcake in 5 minutes? So I'm thinking it might be a fruitcake that I actually like.
Yeah.
Not those Claxton things.
Yeah, right. I don't like it at all. So.
No, it's awful. Awful, awful.
Yeah. Like you say, that I call wallpaper taste.
I think
but,
you're right.
I was just wondering if he specified, because, you know, that could stick you on a big cake and never get it done.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I don't know anybody who could eat a cake, any kind of really normal-sized cake, in 5 minutes.
Right.
That'd take some doing.
Yeah. All right, I was just checking in to see if he specified that.
No,
so
he did.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye. No. So maybe it'll be a small fruitcake. And maybe a fruitcake that I like. Not that awful, awful Claxton fruitcake. Ugh, awful. Does anybody have a guess of on any of these questions? That's something out there in the ether right now. What percentage of people still go out in Christmas carol? What percentage of people think Christmas is a cultural holiday? Go ahead, caller.
Okay, is the joke saying hoodwinking?
Not hoodwinking. Good guess. Bye-bye.
Not hoodwinking. The question is, what is an old-time term for a joke? Now, it's a one-word term, and it's an old-fashioned term for a joke. Okay? That's one of the questions. What did Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen used to argue about at holiday time on The Tonight Show? What percentage of people still go out on Christmas carol? What percentage of people think that Christmas is a cultural holiday? What did the Pepsi Cola Company used to do at Halloween every year with their soda brands? Does anybody know the answer to that?
Go ahead, caller.
Wisecrack.
Not a wisecrack.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
No, shenanigan was closer to it than wisecrack. What is an old-fashioned term for a joke? Now, shenanigan was closer than wisecrack. Does anybody know? 32 minutes past the hour. Ice cream cones to McDonald's, milk jugs, apple slices to McDonald's, a CRT-insulated coffee mug. We've got tickets to the Columbus Zoo Wild Lights. We've got all that here. Also, did want to remind you, coming up on Friday, December the 14th, we're going to have the 10 Most Interesting People of 2018 special. That'll be Friday, December 14th from 5:10 to 6 p.m., and it will repeat that night, December the 14th, from 10:10 till 11 p.m. We're going to count down the 10 Most Interesting People of 2018 and not reveal the most interesting person until the day of the special. Now, here are the 9 that we can say will be a part of the special. Tom Janot, the writer who interviewed Mr. Rogers, whom the Tom Hanks movie about Mr. Rogers is based on. Mayor Scott Schertzer, Mayor of Marion, who will run for a fourth term in 2019. Roger Stone, friend of President Trump for 40 years, who is standing by him when all others are taking plea deals. Mary Taylor, current Lieutenant Governor, who ran for governor in 2018. Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, who gives his thoughts on the president's death In 2018, the 95th anniversary of the death of President Harding, Jim Jordan, Ohio representative who ran and won re-election in 2018, embroiled in a scandal involving his time as an OSU wrestling coach, Dennis Kucinich, former Ohio representative who re-entered the political arena in 2018 to run in the Democratic primary for governor, Shayna Morris, the first female Harding High School student to receive a college scholarship for wrestling, and the number one most interesting person of 2018 will be revealed on the special December 14th at 5:10 p.m. Does anybody have any guess who the most interesting person of 2018 is? Now, I've given you a lot of the people on the list, but that special, that will be December 14th, 5:10 to 6 p.m. Does anybody know who the most interesting person of 2018 will be? Any answers on the trivia questions? Think on the trivia questions. Because of this whole fruitcake mess, I'm going to play the fruitcake song. It is the holiday time, written and produced by Paul Savage, the late Paul Savage. Oh, God. Here is the fruitcake song.
Fruitcake. It's time for fruitcake. Get ready, gums. The fruitcake's passing through. Oh, yum. What great fun. Like eating sawdust made with super glue.
You know, it's a tremendous thing. I was thinking there during that, I just wrote a little lyric about fruitcake.
Oh, yeah.
I did during
really?
The, right there, right off the top of my head.
Well, let me hear it.
Okay, it goes, holiday food is great. You won't want to be late. Some like fruitcake. But once you get it in your mouth, you realize you've made a mistake.
You can tell it's Christmas by the eggnog and the tree. And you can tell it's Christmas by the chilly winter breeze. You can tell it's Christmas by the things that make you sneeze. And you can tell it's Christmas by the fruitcake in your teeth.
See, that's the same question. We've talked about oranges and apples and fruit for Christmas.
Not fruitcake.
We've got to get past that, you know?
She had it right. She said it tastes like anise.
Yeah.
Soap.
Yeah.
See, everybody, it's not just me.
Anise is my favorite ingredient.
Isn't that a candy?
It could be a licorice, an ingredient in licorice. And you can buy, there's an anise-flavored plant that you find in the produce department.
And you can wash your hair with it.
Well, you could if you wanted to.
Tastes like soap.
Yeah.
would it come out green? That's what I...
Fruitcake. It's time for fruitcake. Get ready, gums. The fruitcake's passing through. Oh, yum. What great fun. Like eating sawdust made with super glue. There's music in the air. Again, folks are smiling. Laughter everywhere. In places, snow's piling. There's fires crackling too. And parties now to handle. I even think I saw a fruitcake on my mantle. Fruitcake. It's time for fruitcake. Get ready, gums. The fruitcake's passing through. Ho-hum, what great fun, like eating sawdust made with super glue.
Yes.
Now, the first one is this horrible thing.
Oh, great.
This horrible, horrible.
Yes, I already ate one of those. So.
Oh, my goodness. It's a fruitcake, folks.
Yeah. That's
Charlie Evers likes these things.
That's the best, the Claxton, isn't it?
It is the Claxton.
Yeah.
I like them too, Charlie.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
You guys can eat this up all afternoon.
These young kids.
I cannot stand this.
Young kids don't know what's good.
Is that the one that tastes like soap to you?
Yes, this is the soap one. I can't eat these things.
Well, that's strange.
I'm going to try it again today, but...
They're good.
I'm going to walk this over when Paul gets into his first song here. But I figured, because I don't want you to choke, we also have...
Oh, eggnog. Eggnog. That's, yes.
So we have got a Christmas celebration going on
Am
here
I
today.
Am I ready or what?
Yeah. He's ready. Paul's ready. He's got the knife to cut the fruitcake. So we're going to have some Christmas cheer, even though, as Charlie and I have already discussed, it doesn't feel like Christmas. Yeah.
Now, do you like eggnog?
Eggnog I can do.
It seemed for a day there isn't so much anger. And if you look to find, might find a little manger. It really is a blessing for all those who partake. But tell me, who's the wise guy that got me this fruitcake? Fruitcake. It's time for fruitcake. Get ready, gums, the fruitcake's passing through. Oh, what great fun. Like eating sawdust made with super glue. Like eating sawdust made with super glue.
Yeah, well, everybody loves a fruitcake. I'm just going to start wrapping those up.
You might as well, sure.
I think I'm going to build a bomb shelter out of those.
You could.
I'd be safe.
You have a quantity of fruitcake?
If somebody gave them to me, I would have a quantity because I would not eat them.
I see.
I think the same one gets passed around every year. I don't think there's more than one fruitcake in the world.
When I was younger, us younger people used to say, hey, look there goes a fruitcake.
That's a different meaning.
Oh, that was a different... Oh, okay.
That wasn't at Christmas time, was
Memory of Christmas past. Oh, my. The dreaded fruitcake song. You know, we have fun. You can't say we don't have fun here. Did anybody come up with any of the answers for these trivia questions? What did the Pepsi-Cola company used to do every year at Halloween time? Does anybody know what they used to do? What percentage of people think Christmas is a cultural holiday?
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, the joke thing, could it be a pun?
Not a pun.
Okay,
thank you. Bye-bye.
The question on that one is, what is an old-fashioned term for a joke? Now, it's a one-word term. What is an old-fashioned term for a joke? That is the question. And I'm trying to think if I can give you more than that, but that's about all I can give you. An old-fashioned term for a joke is about as far as I can go.
Go ahead, caller.
Monkey shine.
Not monkey shine.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's a one-word term. Now, shenanigan is kind of close. It's a one-word, old-fashioned term for a joke. But it's not shenanigan, but shenanigan is close. And nobody has guessed. Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen used to argue about every Christmas time on The Tonight Show. Did anybody watch the old Tonight Show with Johnny Carson? Remember that one?
Go ahead, caller.
It's not a humdinger, is it?
Not a humdinger.
I don't know where that came from. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Anybody got it? 740-383-9944. Does anybody know what is the old-fashioned term for a Christmas, or not a Christmas, what a joke is? That is the question on the table right now. Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, two things, Rob.
Yes.
One is enter a gag. What a joke.
What is it?
What a joke. Is it a gag?
Not a gag.
Okay, the second one is, this morning I heard you and Charlie talking about the fruitcakes, and I'm going to go and throw a $5 bill in on top of it and come down here and make sure you eat it.
Well, no, somebody has already put me in a contest.
I'm thinking about adding another $5 to it just so I can have the pleasure to see what you eat it.
Oh, my God. This is turning into a massacre.
Right, and the best fruitcake there is that Claxton.
Oh.
That's on the message this morning.
Oh.
It's nice. It's fresh. Yeah. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for the school, I would make you a nice hot toddy to work it down with.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Oh, God, this is getting out of hand. Now we're up to $25 for me to eat a fruitcake. Listen, the whole time limit thing really doesn't mean much to me about eating it in 5 minutes, because frankly, I don't even think I could eat a whole fruitcake. These things are horrible. They're awful. What is wrong with people? They don't want me to eat these fruitcakes.
Go ahead, caller. Oh.
Would it be a parody?
Not a parody, but that's a good guess.
Shoot, okay.
The question we're trying for is an old-fashioned term for a joke. But this fruitcake thing, I'm telling you what, we're getting in trouble here. We're getting off the tracks. Because I don't want to eat the fruitcake. I don't want to see the fruitcake. I don't want to smell it.
Go ahead, caller.
Horseplay.
Nope, good guess, though. Shenanigan is close.
Shenanigan is the closest guess we've had to a one-word term, an old-fashioned term for a joke. Shenanigan was the closest guess we've got. You know, my mind is just not happy now, because this whole thing about Jerry Harris and this $20 to eat a fruitcake, and now Bob Austin wants to put another $5 on there, I don't see it. I don't see eating the fruitcake, because it's soapy. I mean, it's awful. And to even have one bite of it is enough to, you know, test your gag reflex, let alone eating a whole one. That's why I say the whole time limit thing on this thing, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this one. This fruitcake thing is awful. Awful. Oh, they're terrible. And, you know, I understand there are people out there who like fruitcake, but I think their taste buds are dislocated. I think their taste buds have been dislocated. That's the only way you could like a fruitcake. That is those Claxton fruitcakes. Now, that's just my opinion, but there you go.
Go ahead, caller.
Could the joke thing be Jeff?
Not a jest, but that's a good one.
Okay.
Thank you.
What is the one-word, old-fashioned term for a joke? That's the question. What is the one-word, old-fashioned term for a joke? What did Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen used to kid each other about every year at Christmas time? Does anybody know that one? Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're having some Christmas fun here, so I am going to play another one of Paul Savage's Christmas songs here. Now, for me, my favorite Paul Savage Christmas song, certainly other than the fruitcake song, was one he did called Christmas Candy. So here is Christmas Candy, courtesy of Paul Savage, on WWGH Radio.
Popcorn balls and fudge, the cookies every day. S'mores galore, country stores, goodies on display. Candy canes and weather vanes made in chocolate factories. Have a very merry Christmas, watch those calories. Home bake, fruitcake, pink divinity, eggnog, yule logs, candy gumdrop tree. All that one can fathom, more than there should be. Oh, a very merry Christmas, but all those calories. And oh, after Christmas, diet will begin. And oh, after Christmas, I'll lose this double chin. It's a holly jolly Christmas, that indeed is fine. But don't blame me when in the mirror you see you've gotten rather fat. ¶¶ home-baked fruitcake, pink to vanity, eggnog, your logs, candied gumdrop tree. All that one can fathom, more than there should be. Oh, a very merry Christmas, but oh, those calories. Oh, after Christmas, diet will begin. Oh, after Christmas, I'll lose this double chin. It's a holly jolly Christmas that my friend is fat. But don't blame me when in the mirror you see you've gotten sort of fat.
And that was Christmas Candy, written and produced by the late Paul Savage, who did the Heaven Express program on this station for about 3 years. Paul was a great guy, and we have copies of their Christmas CD. We might start giving those away, because we have a lot of copies, maybe 7 or 8, maybe 10 copies, so maybe we'll start giving those away. Would anybody out there like a copy of the Paul Savage Christmas CD? Well, I tell you what, if you get a trivia question right, let me know that you want a copy of the CD, and we'll make that happen. Now, the question's still out there. The most popular question right now seems to be, what is an old-time term for a joke? It's an old-time term for a joke. Now, the closest guess we've had has been the word shenanigan. Does anybody have a good guess here? Go ahead.
Okay, this is the last one. Would humdinger be anything?
Not humdinger. Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
Not a humdinger. It's a one-word term for a joke. And it's an old-fashioned term. That's what we've been looking for. Also, what did Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen used to argue about every year on The Tonight Show at holiday time? Now, we do not have an answer on that one yet, but maybe we'll get, I don't think we've had a guess. Does anybody remember what Doc and Johnny used to argue about at holiday time on The Tonight Show? Very interesting. What percentage of people still go out and Christmas carol? What percentage of people think Christmas is a cultural holiday? Those are the questions on the table. What did the Pepsi Cola Company used to do special every Halloween? 740-383-9944. Those are the questions on the table today on this December the 6th, 51 minutes past the hour. Now, we're having a good time, but this fruitcake thing, frankly, is just getting out of hand because now we're up to $25 to see me eat a fruitcake. A whole fruitcake. I don't even want a piece of a fruitcake, let alone a whole fruitcake. So the whole thing to me is just a little shaky. That's my opinion. But maybe I'll have an answer for you tomorrow. If you tune in tomorrow, we kick off the day with Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker at 10 a.m., Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett at 11, The Exchange Club with Brandy Downs, Marge Hazlett, and myself at 12, Charlie Evers tomorrow. And tomorrow we've got an interesting program which will delve into Christmas things on The Exchange Club tomorrow between 12 and 1 p.m. And then 1 to 3 p.m. tomorrow, of course, The Charlie Evers Show. Lots of giveaways and lots of fun. So that's the programming schedule for Friday here on WWGH Radio. And we always have a lot of fun. And that's what you want to do. You want to have fun, you want to enjoy the holidays, and that's why we play the music and do the things we do, because we hope you are enjoying as we're enjoying, and we do have a lot of fun, and that's what the holidays really come right down to, having a lot of fun, enjoying each other, and spreading the Yuletide. Now, we still have the CRT insulated coffee mugs. We still have the McDonald's ice cream cones. We have the apple slices from McDonald's. We have the McDonald's milk jugs. We have the Columbus Zoo wildlife tickets. I've seen pictures from people who've been down to Columbus to see these wild lights. They are something else. But the lights here in Marion are pretty good, too. So that certainly is not a bad thing.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, on your joke question.
Yes.
Is it joshing?
Not joshing, but that's a good guess.
You know, like you say joshing around,
yep.
Or I'm just joshing you.
Yep, that's a good guess.
Not joshing. Shenanigan was the closest guess we had on that. The question was, what is an old-fashioned term for a joke? And it's a one-word term. Shenanigan was the closest guess we had. But we do have the Columbus Zoo Wildlight tickets. We do have the ice cream cones from McDonald's, the apple slices, all kinds of good stuff here to eat. That's for sure. Well, not the zoo lights. I wouldn't want to see you go down there and try to eat those. That could end kind of bad. But, we have the CRT insulated coffee mugs. I know we've given a lot of those away, and we certainly thank the CRT people for supplying those cups. Those have went over very, very well. So here we are, and we'll continue on with these trivia questions next week. Maybe we'll throw in some tomorrow. Have some fun on the Friday. As I say, we have the Over the Back Fence program with Pastor Steve Whitaker at 10 a.m., Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett at 11, and you won't want to miss that Exchange Club tomorrow from 12 to 1 with Brandy Downs, Marge Hazlett, Charlie Evers, and myself. It's a very Christmas-themed show, and themed in a very unique way that Brandy is going to do it tomorrow. So you won't want to miss that. So that's coming up tomorrow, 12, 10 to 1 p.m., and then, of course, the Charlie Evers Show. An institution here in Marion Radio from 1 to 3, the creator of the Peanut Push, Buckeye Chuck, and so many other great things that have went down in Marion Radio. Charlie certainly is one of a kind, to be sure. So that's the fun of radio here in Marion. And the studio is so beautifully decorated. It's fun to come sit in the studio at Christmas time. I don't know how many of you have been here to pick up a prize or so on and so forth, but we've got three Christmas trees. We've got a hat that looks like a Christmas tree. We've got Santa hats. We've got Santa Claus himself here. We've got wreaths. We've got all kinds of stuff up all over the studio, and it really is a lot of fun. So, you know, have fun wherever you are and whatever you are doing, because that is what the holidays come down to. And like our one question, what percentage of people think that Christmas is a cultural holiday? Christmas presents and Christmas trees and Santa Claus and Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all of those things. You know, that all is nice and fun, but it's Christmas just has a feeling. It's a feeling. Most everything still closes, and you get to be with family, and you get to enjoy family, and that is a big part of it, the biggest part. So don't miss out on that with all the hectic schedules that people are keeping. Also, don't forget the 10 Most Interesting People of 2018 coming up on Friday, December 14th from 5:10 to 6 p.m., and it will repeat that night 10:10 until 11 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, and we won't reveal the most interesting person until that special airs on December 14th. The list is Tom Genode, Mayor Scott Schertzer, Roger Stone, Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, Jim Blessing, Jim Jordan, Dennis Kucinich, Shayna Morris, and the most interesting person of 2018. And we will have an interview with the most interesting person of 2018 on that special. So you don't want to miss that one for love nor money. So there you go. That's what's going on here in the holiday season. So how about that? Now, what we might do here, let's see, maybe we have time to get another song in here. A lot of those songs are great. Like I say, we do have those CDs available, the Paul Savage and Glenna Savage Christmas CD, which is always a great, enjoyable thing to do. But as we continue on today, we've had a lot of great guest on this week to remember the 41st President of the United States, President George Bush, who passed away last Friday at the age of 94, Douglas Brinkley, Eleanor Clift, and today we are joined by a man who received the Literacy Award from President Bush back in 1991. He is the man who made the cookie famous, one of my favorite guests and favorite people, famous Wally Amos. Wally, how are you?
Hey, Scott, I'm fine. What a nice memory, you know, because I've been thinking a lot about George and Barbara Bush, and they were such a great contribution to our country. And they will just always be warm in my heart and just a part of what I do because of who they were. So thank you for having me here and following up a conversation with your audience about them.
Now, Wally, when you went to Washington to get the Literacy Award in 91, what are some of the interactions you had with the Bushes?
Well, you know, the funnest one and was that my wife at the time, because Christina and I are no longer married, but it was a wonderful event that they had, and when it was finished, the Bushes invited everyone up to the second floor, which is where the living quarters are, and so everybody took the elevator up, and Christina and I, we decided to walk up, and so we walked up, and maybe we took the elevator. Anyway, we were the first ones up to the second floor, and when you go to the White House to go to the second floor is a real honor, because that's their living quarters, and it's like any other living quarters really, but it's a museum also. And so we're up there just looking around, you know, checking things out and just admiring all the history that is going on in that room, on that whole floor. And so we're looking around, and then all of a sudden, George and Barbara Bush turn around the corner, and there we are, face to face with them. So I did what Wally Amos would do. I pulled my kazoo out, and I'm looking for a kazoo, and I don't have a kazoo with me now. But I pulled my kazoo out, and I start, and George didn't know what to do. But Barbara immediately started doing a little tap dance.
Oh, my God. What a neat moment. First time I have remembered that moment in a long time. It made me cry. It was really special. It was a really special moment.
What a great moment. You know, Wally,
you captured it.
Wally, yeah. In all the remembrances I've heard of President Bush over the last week, most people say the same thing. He was just a personable guy, and he
absolutely
wanted to know about you.
Yeah. And he was very, very accommodating. He sat there that night in his office, his private office upstairs, and signed every request for an autograph that was made of him. I mean, just as if he had nowhere to go. And he didn't, because his evening was over. His day was over. And he was so generous and so gracious. And Barbara, he and Barbara were just, Barbara and I did a lot of literacy work with Literacy Volunteers of America. She was such, they were giving people. They were giving people. I mean, salt of the earth. They really were. What you saw was what you got. That's all there was, man. But they gave it all to you. And not to you and someone else at the same time. When they were with you, they were with you.
It's tremendous to hear. Wally, it's Christmas time. We're approaching Christmas. This Christmas, you're back here in the mainland. Yeah. What were your Christmas plans this year?
I don't have any. I don't have any plans, really. Because I'm living in the moment. I've started a journey that is one breath at a time. Lived 1 second at a time. And that's wherever I am, because I've also started on a journey that is totally governed by God, totally directed, totally guided by God. I don't make plans. The quote is, we make plans and God laughs. But, you know, and I just had a wonderful, wonderful lunch, John, with a fellow for the first time, but our paths have crossed before, because he's a speaker, and I'm getting ready to go back on the speaking circuit.
Oh, great.
As a matter of fact, he's got many contacts in the speaking circuit. I said, give them my name, because I'm ready to start speaking again, because I feel the need to, and I have something to say. And I have, the last however many years, I've had some experiences that have literally brought me down to earth. I mean, flat on my face, too. when it brings you down, it doesn't bring you down to a soft landing. It kind of throws you down.
I think we've all been there. Wally, I do have an important question for you, though. For all the kids who might be listening, you would be the best to answer this. What kind of cookies should we leave for Santa Claus?
Well, I don't know. I am not selling a cookie right now. My next cookie is going to be the cookie Kahoot. My next cookie is going to be Aunt Della's cookie.
Oh, I love it.
Because it was Aunt Della that first made chocolate chip cookies for me. When I was 12, 13 years old, I had my first cookie. My mother and father divorced, and they sent me from Tallahassee, Florida to New York City to live with Aunt Della. That was a turning point in my life, because if it weren't for that experience, there never would have been a Famous Amos. So I'm blessed to have founded Famous Amos. And I made a lot of mistakes along the way, and I wound up losing Famous Amos. So I have nothing to do with Famous Amos. And I cannot recommend Famous Amos cookies, because I don't eat Famous Amos cookies. And I don't recommend other people eating Famous Amos cookies. I think you'd be much better served if you would wait until Aunt Della cookies come out, because it's what Famous Amos cookies tasted like when Wally Amos founded Famous Amos.
I love it.
It's not a Famous Amos cookie that you would enjoy eating today, I don't think, if you expect to find a Wally Amos cookie. So it's the first time I could say that too, because I'm full on now, getting ready to launch Aunt Della's cookies. I feel better about this than any cookie company I founded, and I found quite a few. But when I started Famous Amos cookies, I didn't think it was going to be Famous Amos cookie. I didn't know it was going to be overwhelmingly successful as it was. But it was a powerful experience for me and for all of those who had the opportunity to eat one of my original cookies. Well, now we go back to the source. We go back to the original Aunt Della's chocolate chip cookie. You can't get more love in a cookie than Aunt Della put in hers.
I love the...
She was love. She was love personified. So my life is just turning around. It's constantly turning around. And now I'm getting ready to go back on the speaker circuit. And I've got some stories to tell, Scott.
Well, Wally, as I have always told people, you have always been so kind to me over the years. And there are few people as kind as you. And the cookies you have sent over the years and the times you've come on the program, which I don't want to stop with.
Hold on a second. You've got that reversed. You have been kind to me. You've sold so many cookies for me. You know, there is tremendous power in radio. Many people don't realize it. But if you don't have but one audience, I don't know who that audience will speak to after hearing me on your show. So you guys, you in particular, have sold so many cookies for me. And it's only right that I should share those with you and with your audience. And when I start up Aunt Della's Cookies, you know who the first radio guy is that I'm going to send some cookies to.
Well, I am honored to hear that.
No question.
Wally, you stay well. I'll be in contact soon, but thank you, because I wanted to share those memories of the president, because he was a good man.
He was a great man. Yeah, he was a great man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wally.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Bye-bye. Wally Amos, the man who made the cookie famous. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
WWGH Radio, that's 107.1 FM, you know, streaming live on the internet, www.wgh107.1.